Blog Talk Radio.
In the dead of night, when thy winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone, and you sit huddled by the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be tonight? Welcome to the shadows of the Night Zone. Greetings, I'm Colin Knight, your host in the Night Zone, inviting you to join our shadow guests as we investigate the darkness and shadows which make up this diamond called Earth. And beyond. Check us out. You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. Welcome to
the Night Zone.
This is a live event.
There is nothing wrong with your computer. There is nothing wrong with your audio or your video. We are controlling the transmission. For the next hour, and we will control all that you hear. Let me repeat, there is nothing wrong with your computer. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind, the shadows of the Night Zone. Your host, Colin Knight.
As we go to air tonight, some good news for our local listeners in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. We have been held in the fierce grip of a 5-week winter storm, with night temperatures of minus 35 degrees Celsius and wind chills dropping the temperature into the minus 40s. We are about to shake that winter's grip. A Chinook is coming. A Chinook is coming. We're about to begin the first of many big thawouts. Warm weather is now on the horizon. However, Kansas should brace for the Siberian Alberta Clipper, which invariably follows. Tonight, in the shadows of the Night Zone, we have with us a very special guest, Anne Bollinger McQuaid, author of Cloudspeak, Oracles in the Sky.
As a child growing up in Kansas, Anne Bollinger McQuaid of Native American ancestry accepted her family's psychic gifts as normal life. She took for granted her family's innate comfort with the supernatural. Anne grew up in a world filled with metaphor and meaning, a world that became the basis for her passion and her life's work. Grateful for her paternal great-grandmother's Native American influence that she has come to realize is ingrained in every part of her being. The idea of ancestral imprints occurred to her after a series of personal events sent her hurtling into what she describes as an invisible moving sidewalk, and believes that at certain times we all land on such sidewalks, which carries us to a certain destination, and her sidewalk transported her to a place and destiny. Anne Bollinger McQuaid, tonight, in the shadows of the Night Zone. The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered. We remind all of our listeners, KPDMTOR, your host, Colin Knight.
And indeed, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we do have with us Anne Bollinger McQuaid, author of a fascinating manuscript, a good book, called Cloudspeak, Oracles in the Sky. Anne Bollinger McQuaid, welcome to the Night Zone, my dear.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Well, we really, really do appreciate you taking the time to be able to come to our show, especially when it touches, as I said, the spiritual realm of Native American understanding. It does fascinate me, that's for sure.
Oh, great.
Now, my father would always say the best place to start is at the beginning. So for the past 20 years or so, you have centered your spiritual work on personal oracles. For our listeners, what exactly is a personal oracle?
Well, I coined the term personal oracles as a frame of reference for those mysterious messages that pop up in every imaginable form, offering guidance and support. And they come when just when we need them the most. And as we connect the dots, we recognize that they are illuminating all of the interconnections that link all of us. So personal oracles to me are so exciting because they not only guide us and help us through our life, but they let us see how we are interlinked and how really safe we are in the world together.
So a universal force then?
I'm sorry?
A universal force?
Yes, and it personal oracles, you know, back through ancient history, they would talk about, like, the oracle at Delphi, who was a person. I use personal oracles as messages that come to each individual. We all receive personal oracles. I like to start out with an example of the way that we're all connecting to this mystery that is around us all the time. When you think about driving in traffic, and I think most of us have had the experience where you're driving and you sense that the person next to you is going to change lanes just
mm-hmm.
before they change lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that telepathic connection that we have. We don't even think about it. It's just there. And we connect to it because we're so focused on the driving. Well, when we recognize that we're doing this pretty much in our everyday life, we can expand on that and see other times when our intuition is saying, look over here, listen to this, see what's speaking to you now.
Right. Yeah, and I can relate to how you see it. Definitely can. Very much like the Manitou system or the spirit guide.
Very much like the spirit guide, only when I think of a spirit guide, I think of maybe someone who is assigned to us, you know, who stays with us. Personal oracles can be as simple as something that mirrors something back to us, that has special meaning to us. Like, clouds are amazing to me because they're so available. I think so many of us have laid on our back and looked up at the clouds and imagined all this. Well, so I tune into clouds a lot, and you can actually connect to other dimensions and energy frequencies through that, or they can work as mirrors. Like, a lot of times I'll look up, and something that I get a lot is an image of a laughing face, which usually comes to me when I need to lighten up. So
right.
That is just the universe mirroring something back to me that I need in my life. Anyone who gets on my website, there's a picture that I took in the clouds of a time in our lives when our dog had leukemia, and he was very ill, and he was at the vet, and we were going to visit him, and something said to me, here's the key, that intuition that said, pick up a camera, and just in case there's something in the sky for you. As I walked out of the house, I had this sense to look up in the sky, and I looked out this door, and here was an image to me of our dog laying on its back surrounded in love. So I photographed that. What that did is that gave me peace of mind and said, things are really, he's surrounded in love. Maybe it didn't say to me he's going to be okay, but he's surrounded in love. So on my website, there is that picture of him, and I have a picture, I think it's on there without the outline, and then I outlined what I saw. Just to show everybody, you know, I'm a teacher to encourage people if they care to look for these things in their life. The guidance and the support that's out there, I'm here to say, here are some of the ways that you can do that. And then as you see things that are just mirroring messages back to you, sometimes you can tune in a little bit deeper and connect to energies that have passed on from this dimension to another dimension.
Right. So I can relate to how you are imaging with items in the sky where you see pictures of this and that. What I'm curious about is the photograph that you took of those clouds. Can you still see that image clearly in your mind?
Can I still see the image clearly? What was the last word you said?
In your mind, based on...
Oh, I can
see
it clearly in my mind, and you can see it on the website, because there's another one actually on the website, and it has a story connected with it. And I've had a long time to be working with images and clouds as they opened up. As you read, it's part of my Native American ancestry and also a series of experiences that opened to me. But the front page of my website has a face in the clouds. And to me, it's an abstract heart, but it's very much eyes, nose, and a mouth. And we were driving between my husband and I were driving between Arizona and New Mexico at one point, and we do a lot of driving, and I send thoughts up just as a prayer, a gentle prayer for a safe journey, and I don't give it much thought. I just ask for protection. And so I had done that this trip, and I was driving along behind. We had two cars. I had the dog in my car. My husband was in the car in front of me, and so I'm driving along, and I noticed this image, and at the same time I notice it, I just feel this sensation of protection that, and I hadn't been thinking about, I'd just been thinking about driving, probably listening to the radio. So I got this incredible sense of protection around me, and I saw this image in the sky, and it stayed with us forever, for like 20 minutes, and you know, the road turns, and it stayed pretty much visually in front of the road. I'm not saying it was moving, but I could see it in front of the road. And I knew it was protection. I'm driving along, you know how your mind then gets into it and goes, well, you'll probably never know what that is, but you do feel all that, and look, you see all that. Well, it stayed so long, and I don't recommend this to anybody. I grabbed the camera that was, listen, I keep a camera close by, and I had a camera on the side of the seat beside me, and I took a few shots and got them developed. And so I'm driving along thinking, well, I'll never know what it is. And in about an hour, my husband's right back tire blew out. I heard this loud pop, He drove over to the side of the car. Now, to my way of belief, I really do believe that we had some protection out there. So that's what spirit, personal oracles speak specifically to an individual. They resonate in a way that that person is going to be able to understand, and they'll be very timely. So, you know, personal messages are incredible because we are the person who determines what they mean to us, how they resonate with us. You know, I'm very visual. Some people are auditory. Ellen in Santa Fe hears the voice of her grandmother when she's taking a shower, and the water is going really strong. She frequently hears her grandmother's voice, her grandmother Fanny, and she'll be doing things like urging her to plant something in the garden or read her a book. So that's interesting that water works for some people because of, you know, evidently it carries that charge. Another man, David, in Colorado, sits by the stream and can hear the messages in the water as the water is rushing by. And Victoria in England, she feels her mother's embrace in the wind. So we've got all kinds of different ways that each of us, taps into these personal oracles that are resonating specifically with us.
I think there are a number of levels of resonation that are out there. Without doubt, the way we pass through life kind of tells me that there are levels of divinity, if you will.
Yes.
And like a moth to a candle, of course, when it comes to native energies and practical earth magical powers, I'm hooked, completely hooked. And your recent work, Cloud Speak, Oracles in the Sky, you quoted an old Apache storyteller who reminded us that everything has a life. What a fabulous short little story that kind of encapsulates how natural religion really pays attention to what's around itself.
Well, it's true. And what this little quote, and do you mind if I read the whole quote?
No, by all means.
Because this has a really strong meaning to me, and it's an Apache storyteller who reminds us that the plants, trees, Rocks, clouds, fire, water are all alive. They watch us and they see our needs. They see when we have nothing to protect us, and it's then that they reveal themselves and speak to us. So I love that because what it encapsulates to me the whole Native American perspective as the world is alive and interacting with each other. And when you see all of the elements of the world as alive and see your connection to each element, all kinds of new dimensions open up to you.
Well, it makes sense. I have studied the Manitou method of a spirit guide and spirit guides. So I do sense a clear connection with your oracle awareness. So I do see that connection. Now, one thing I'm kind of curious of is could a Manitou or a native spirit, could it use an oracle system as some kind of communication with you?
Oh, certainly. And you know, I have only used the word oracle to talk about that energy frequency that is translated between us. So I would definitely call that, you know, an personal oracle experience, because personal oracles just allow us to experience different energy frequencies, you know, like what some people call paranormal. It's just another energy frequency that we don't generally tune into. And when we tune into it, all of a sudden, we're in a whole other dimension.
Yeah, and a whole new way of thinking and a whole new way of doing things.
Exactly, and the world opens to us, and then we realize the support that is out there. We realize that we are in this beautiful flux and flow. And, you know, I've studied the ancient cultures, and I've studied 21st century science, and it's exciting how it links together, because 21st century science is now looking at the holographic universe and, you know, really seeing how the string theory, you know, all of these things that when you look at the metaphysical, I'll use that word because to me I think metaphysical always sounds vague. So, you know, when you look at metaphysics and you look at the world that is harder to explain, and then the scientists get a hold of it and they talk about things like the string theory, which is this little tiny vibrating string of energy that connects everything, you know, in the
right.
quantum world, you start to see this pattern that's so much larger than, you know, I always used to hope there was more. When I was a child, I remember just really hoping there was more to everything than we all knew and wishing that there was more to everything than we all knew. And then all of a sudden, when you start to experience it, it's really exciting.
It is exciting. And to understand the spirit theory, especially through native spirits, that everything has a spirit of some kind or another, and that it is alive.
Yes.
And that it's all one circle of life.
Yes.
In the end of the day, it is one circle of life.
And do you know what's so interesting that you bring that up? The series of synchronistic events that are part of the cloud speak oracles in the sky happened to me it is part of the circle of life, that I had a breast cancer diagnosis, which was flagged by my intuition, just said, get a mammogram. And I got it, flagged a very early breast cancer. But in the time between, it's anybody that has had an experience with breast cancer or someone they know, there can be an excruciating long time between the time you know something is wrong and you know exactly how wrong it is. And
right. So
what happened to me in that time was it engaged my fear of my own mortality. And, I always believed there was more, but it's very different when you're facing that. Fortunately, it was early and I did not have to deal with that. But what happened was, then I watched the unit. It was like I stepped on this invisible moving sidewalk, and the universe started to give me gifts that let me see that there is that once we leave this dimension, we just go into another dimension. And that happened through the dog that I was talking about right after I had the breast cancer diagnosis. It was around Christmas, and I walked into a pet store. And in the left side, right outside the left side of my ear, I heard these words that weren't mine, and it was, you know I'm going home with you, don't you? And I connected it to this bunch of dogs up in this one little kennel, and I asked to see them, and I really didn't pay attention to those words because I was in a new marriage, and I didn't want to tie us down to a dog. I thought I was playing, you know how that goes.
Right.
And so I asked to see the dog, and took it into this little loving room. My husband came from the mall and saw it and went, oh, let me get this for you for Christmas. And I went, no, let's go talk about it. We'll go talk. And I ended up going somewhere, and I don't know how we got separated, but when I found my husband again, he was at the desk paying for the puppy. Well, Rusty, now my husband did not know about that telepathic message at all.
Right.
And I unfortunately was going to ignore that. I think I was ignoring that telepathic message. And for convenience sake. And Rusty ended up being the most amazing spirit guide for me. We never had that telepathic connection until a time I'm going to tell you about later, but we did a lot of just thought speak. You know, you just think something and he'd do it. I could say, you want to come over and lay by me? And he'd get up and lay by me. So, and I'm sure he was doing the same number on me. Well, about 11 years later, Rusty ended up with cancer, and I got to be for him the support that he was for me through I ended up having surgery and radiation, and he stayed with us another year through radiation, and we had to have him put to sleep, and finally, and I was, you know, anybody who's ever had an animal that was more than just a pet knows, or even I guess if it was just a pet, it's a horrible separation because animals love in a way that my husband and I talked about, who we have a beautiful relationship, but humans just don't love like animals love. And so I was laying in bed thinking, how will I ever go on? And I heard, this is only the second time I heard it, same place just outside my left ear, I'm still here. And he was really polite. And then he said, you know I could come back if you want me to. And that made me, I felt, I in my mind said, show me the way and I'll get you, I'll cut to the chase and tell you that I did reconnect with him. But along that invisible moving sidewalk of connecting with him, I had all kinds of experiences that took me to deeper levels of awareness and connected me to things like the Aboriginals talk about dream time.
Right.
That place where you go, where everything originates, and where you're not thinking, but dreams just become reality.
Right.
And so all these things took me along to find him again. I found him again. By that time, my father was in a care home and was not going to live that much longer. And he was very close to Rusty, and he and I he's the Native American connection. And we've always been so close and trusted each other and understood each other so well. And so when I told him that I had found Rusty and I would bring him to him as soon as I could get him, my father died before I got Rusty to him. It took me maybe a year to realize that maybe Rusty had given my father the comfort that he needed to have to be able to let go. So it assuaged his fear. Of course, you know, since I keep my camera around, I've got a picture of then the day after my father died, I was making arrangements to take his body back to Kansas. And I felt like I wanted to go out and say something to my husband. And as I walked out through he was washing a car. And as I walked out through the garage, I felt my father, like he was right there. And then I looked above my husband's head, and there he was in a cloud image. Mm. And I was euphoric, and I said, Kenneth, look, it's Daddy. And he went, wow, he's even got his beard. And so I was saying, Daddy, please wait. And I ran and got a camera and took it, and that's part of the book too. So, you know, when we pay attention, I am not any different than anybody else. It's just that I paid attention.
You managed to identify the signals that are being processed for you.
You know what I did, and this is what I'd love for, you know, encourage people to do. I opened my heart, and I tried to stay out of my judging mind. I also had and have an amazing person, my husband, that I share everything with, and I shared some things with him that, trust me, they were so strange that if I hadn't been sharing them along the way, I'm not sure that I could have accepted them as real for myself. So I think it's really important when we're doing these things to find that confidant or groups of people, you know, when we're in situations
right.
like that. The universe brings those people right to us.
So right.
I think that that's really good for all of us, you know, when we find those people that we can share these things with and they share with us and our world becomes larger and more connected.
Yeah, they definitely, once the connection is made, it can be very powerful.
Yes.
But there are a lot of forces that would try and prevent us from doing that. But that's probably another show. Tell you what, we're going to take a quick bottom of the hour break, and we'll be right back. Hang in there.
Thanks.
You're in the Night Zone with Colin Knight.
As we rush about our world, preparing for the family festive gatherings, we hope you take a moment to think of those less fortunate than ourselves. Those old coats hanging in the closet which your family have outgrown or never wear. They would be greatly appreciated by those less fortunate. Take time to give this season. Give to the Red Cross or the Salvation Army. Warm the hearts of those who may be experiencing hard times. Do something of goodwill during this festive season.
Welcome to the Shadows of the Night Zone. As we enter the winter solstice, leaving a very difficult year behind, it is only fitting that returning on the 22nd is John Ho from HoGProphecy.com. Mr. Ho returns to look back at and forward in his startling predictions. John Ho in the Shadows of the Night Zone, Tuesday, December the 22nd at 10 p.m. New York time.
Aquarian Age is a time of greater spontaneity. It's going to be a time where the era of the great faith-based religions of the Piscean Age will fade and be replaced by religions that are more scientific. Rather than to believe, the next 2,000 years is about knowing.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered. We remind all of our listeners, Caveat Emptor, phone lines are now open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Welcome to the Shadows of the Night Zone.
You know, there's something about acoustical guitar at Christmas time. I don't know what it is, but that acoustical guitar just sends shivers up my backbone. Tonight in the Shadows of the Night Zone, we have with us a very special guest, Anne Bollinger McQuaid, author of Cloud Speak, Oracles in the Sky. Her work can be found on oraclesinthesky.com. We invite you to head over there and have a look at the website. So, Anne, you mentioned in your book a turning point when you landed on this moving sidewalk, as you mentioned it. Was that the cancer scare, or was that the sickness of your animal that kind of started to put those things together for you?
Well, I feel like, you know, as we're going along these things, I think a lot of times we don't really recognize what's happening. So by putting this story together, it took me a while to realize what had called this energy in. And I can see, looking in the rearview mirror, that it was the breast cancer scare and my fear of my own mortality that seemed to kick this all into action, like the Native American storyteller was telling us. You know, the universe watches and sees what we need, and then it gives it to us. So here along came all of these things that said, okay, when the body passes, when the soul passes out of the body, the soul goes elsewhere. By bringing Rusty back, allowing Rusty and me to reconnect again, I was actually experiencing him in physical form. With my father, when he moved out of his body and he came back, you know, he visited us. Native Americans will tell you, too, that they believe that the spirit will goes right up from where they passed and that that's where they are. Well, we were very close to the place where my father has passed, so those two things make sense in the Native American perspective that he would be there. Mm-hmm. My father also is around me a lot, and the last page in the book is a picture 10 years later as we have a labyrinth at the house. Do we all know what labyrinth, do I need to say what a labyrinth is?
Maybe you should explain for our
people. Okay, a labyrinth is a wonderful spiritual tool that has been used throughout history. The Greeks, the Romans, they had labyrinths. The Cretans, they had labyrinths that they walked. They would. It's like not like a maze, but a labyrinth. You start at the outside and you follow a path that takes you directly through a lot of circles and different paths to the center. A maze you get lost in. A labyrinth you don't get lost. You just are directed right to the center and then back out again. So when they were going into battle, sometimes the warriors would run their fingers along a labyrinth, maybe at the entrance to a door, and think about the journey that they were going to go on and center themselves and do whatever they needed to do spiritually. So labyrinths are, the Cretan labyrinth is the labyrinth that we have at our on our property. And it is a tool where you can go and center yourself. And so I had a woman here in town who is a labyrinth guide, and I had been doing a seminar, and she was at the seminar and said she would love to come see the labyrinth. So she came for her 80th birthday to walk our labyrinth.
Wow.
And I went down, and it's not easy to get to. It's down a lot of stairs. Marianne Carpo is a really, she's a trooper. So we go to the labyrinth, and I put a camera around my neck, and as we're walking in silence, or sometimes I love to do this little song for you because it's more than the labyrinth, and it's a little verse that goes, I walk the path of the mystery, and as I walk, it's revealed to me the truth, the deep, the way. And then there's that, hey-ya, 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 ho, hey-ya, 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 ho, hey-ya, hey-ya, hey-o. So as I walked, I was real quietly singing that to myself because she was in front of me, and so I was singing it, and I could feel my father, which I feel around me a lot, and I have pictures of him, and I can feel him with my work, but I could really feel his presence. So I took the camera, and I shot up to where I felt him. Didn't take a lot of time to look or frame it, but shot up to the area of the sky. And Marianne and I finished our walk in silence and did what we had come there to do personally on our own, only we were walking, you know, separately together. And so as we got out, I explained to her why I had stopped and that I felt my father there. And she said, oh, I hope you get an image. And I knew, you know how sometimes beyond that reason thing, you just know. I knew I mm-hmm. had his image. And mm-hmm. the last page of the book is a picture of him in life and a picture that I took over above the labyrinth. And it's unbelievable that it is exactly his image. The first one right after he died, and the day after he died, was a profile that looked like you could outline something, you know. But this one really looked like, it really looked like his face full on. So these things keep reaffirming to me that, you know, and I have other friends that I have connected to that have passed, and I don't know if we're going to have time, but also Padre Pio, who is a very famous man who has been sainted, was in St. Peter's Square one day when I felt him, and took a photograph in the sky. I had no idea who he was. I was there to see Pope Paul, not a Catholic, but honoring spirit.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Honoring spirit and just feeling like I would be blessed to be in Pope Paul, John Paul's presence. And I could feel this protection, and I took the picture, and I just thought we were being protected because of the danger in the area at the time. And it started to gradually dawn on me as I took some other pictures. I saw this picture of this man called Padre Pio that I didn't remember ever hearing about. Later I realized I had heard about. He was had the hands that bled, like the wounds of Christ. And so,
right.
But I couldn't remember this. So we got back aboard ship, and I turned on CNN to see about the dangers in the area. And, of course, CNN, instead of reporting on the dangers of the area, was reporting on Padre Pio being beatified at St. Peter's Square that day.
Wow. And you had no idea of this.
I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
So don't you love it that the universe or God or spirit or whatever label you want to put on this came to me to you know, I didn't know what I was doing. I did. I had already run to take the photo to have it developed at the cabin of the ship.
Right.
And it is amazing. It is the same three-quarter view of his face as the portrait. And then I have a dear friend who has since passed, Annalisa, and we were going to Milan, and I was trying to pick up information, but it was all in Italian. And I thought, okay, I got this calendar. I could get it to her, and she would tell me. Well, when we got, you know, by the point that I got my film back, I knew it had been Padre Pio. So I get to Annalisa, and, you know, he had been in Giovanni, Italy, I think. Giovanni, Italy, maybe. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right.
Mm-hmm.
Very close to her, and he was her mother's patron saint. And, I mean, but it was really quite lovely that it was put in such the hands of such an innocent who didn't really realize what was happening until I connected the dots.
But also maybe gave you the opportunity to somewhat come closer to godlike, if you will.
You are so right.
By learning that. Maybe it was your time that piece of the puzzle for your abilities.
You're so right.
I like being right. It sometimes helps.
I do too. It's so much more fun than being wrong.
That's true. We have a couple of tweet questions coming in here, and these will be kind of interesting. This one's a two-part question from Mariana out of Argentina. Oh, how and when did your awareness of your Native American ancestry play a role in your recognition of personal oracles?
Interesting. Well, because as a child, I really took it for granted. I mean, you know, my family just saw things and that, you know, they took for granted and it was okay. It was actually walking this path that I have described to you and writing it down and sharing it with people and having different, well, friends and then editors and who really actually pointed, I remember Dawn Cole is the name of the woman who first pointed out to me and said, Anne, this sounds so Native American. Well, then I started to look at it and go, okay, now I knew that there was Native American in my ancestry. It's on my dad's great-grandmother, part of the Algonquin tribe that came down as Hakapus in 1830-something to 1870, which is the perfect time frame in there. But, no, it took this kind of an experience. I think that we have, all have this ancestral seed in us that may or may not blossom in our lifetime, and it may blossom early and it may blossom later, but I think sometimes it takes something as a catalyst to fertilize that and pop it into bloom, and that's really these experiences did that for me.
And I think you had mentioned in your book how you realized that your Native ancestry was ingrained in your genetic code, as if you will.
Exactly.
And I feel the same way regarding the abilities of man. I think we have lost so many abilities. They are still there. They're still in our code.
Yeah.
We just have to learn how to access them.
Exactly. I think you are spot on because because that's it. They're laying dormant. And I think that we live in this world that's so high-tech, so fast-paced. We're all busy. It's a stimulating world. And to really have something pull us out of that. But, you know, when we tune into our intuition and we start to listen to those little nudges. You know, here's another thing I would love to share about ancestral links. I don't know how many of you know Forrest Whitaker, who's quite a famous actor here in the United States.
Right.
He was winning an Academy Award 5 years ago. And I happened to be watching, and I was stunned to watch him. First off, when he accepted it, you know, usually people accepting those awards are all over the place. And he got still, and he centered himself. And he breathed it. He took deep breaths, and he said, I really want to take all, something like this. I really want to take all this in. And then he said, I can feel my ancestors are with me by the tingling in my body and the breath on their breath on my neck.
Mm.
Isn't that cool?
Wow.
So he had put those pieces together.
Yeah. I think when it comes to decision time, I know myself, I get a calming effect that comes over me that I can't explain and makes no sense. And it's usually under the craziest of times where you would be absolutely, the adrenaline would be just bouncing off the scale. And yet I get this calming effect. And I place that squarely on the shoulders of my father, because he always had those one-line statements like, the best place to start is at the beginning.
Ah, yeah.
You know, and it's always the last place you look. That one had me for years, how he could be so accurate on that. And then realized, of course, once you found them, you don't look anymore, so it has to be the last place that you look.
So true. And you know, when we do tap into this beautiful wisdom and this beautiful lineage, and then if you open up even a little bit more and you realize that, like my dad and my dear friend Annalisa and even Padre Pio, these spirits are around us, and you know, we are their force here on earth, and they're going to help us. And your dad, is your father alive?
No, unfortunately, he's well passed. But
he might be, you know. Now, yeah. I'm not trying to make anybody think this is the way it is, but let's just open up our ideas, our minds a bit, to say he could be whispering a bit in your ear.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. And definitely, every time, as I say, something hits the fan, you know, pretty well guaranteed that he is there. I have a caller that has come up on the line, 936. If you'd please identify yourself, first name, and your geographical location.
My name is Tom. I'm in Texas.
Hey, Tom from Texas. Good to hear you, my friend. Did you have a question for Ann Bollinger McQuaid?
Sure. Ann, how difficult is it for you to, at times, to relate your experiences?
You mean how difficult is it for me to share them? Let me ask you if this is, I don't know if I want to answer correctly. Are you asking me if I'm worried about what people would say?
No, I'm referring to the fact that words are just inadequate at times to describe.
Oh, you have hit the nail on the head, because when you take experiences that defy description, If you evidently have had some of these experiences, they're so large and they go so deep and they resonate in ways that there is no language that I know of to express them. Yes, I definitely have a hard time.
Yes, I have one experience in life that only lasted for an instant, literally. But finding words to describe it, and that was the time I was literally struck by lightning.
Wow.
That's very hard to put into words, just exactly how it felt and what it was like and everything else that you can imagine.
Did it change your life?
That was just part of the changes that were going on in my life at the time, but it changed my physical body so that when thunderstorms would come through Houston, where I lived at the time, half an hour before they would get there, the arch in my right foot would start throbbing.
Wow.
Before the thunderstorms would come.
I'm surprised the government didn't grab a hold of you and use you as a weather statistic.
You could make quite a good weather vane. Well, you know, that's it sounds horribly frightening and painful, but also, the way I look at it, very exciting, because you're seeing all these, or feeling, or even better yet, experiencing all these links.
Yeah.
You're linked in way ahead of all the rest of us.
Well, I had had something happen 5 years prior when I was 18 years old. A tornado touched down 50 feet in front of me, and it didn't carry me or my truck away.
Wow.
So what you're saying,
Tom, if there's a storm coming, then everybody must run away from you.
Yeah, I just have links with nature that I can't explain. Yeah. I mean, I've seen wild animals deep in the woods that have come close to me for no rhyme or reason other than the fact that I'm there.
Well, I would like to offer this as just a thought, which you probably have thought about this before, what's your fear level around all these three things that you've described? Do you have a sense of, you know, how Colin was talking about that sense of calm he has at times that you wouldn't think you have calm? Do you have that sense of calm?
I have no fear of anything, because I know whatever happens to this body, it's just the body. When I look in the mirror, that's not who I am.
Mm.
And I know that.
Mm, good for you.
I mean, I'm 6 feet, 7 inches tall, and I've been close to a Sasquatch that can literally call me midget, and I have no fear.
That's amazing.
Well, that's very, very, very impressive. Well, Tom, thank you for your call, sir. I do appreciate your time and your question. And it just goes to show you, Anne, that there are so many levels of psychic awareness, if you will, or earth magic that we
yes.
seem to have lost.
And connections that are out there. And, you know, I love it that he shared that. And I love it that though the words are really, really hard to get a handle on, that we go ahead and the more we share these kind of experiences that we're all having, the more comfortable I think we all are going to be with inviting more of them and recognizing more of them and trusting more of them.
Right, right. We have to do a quick sound break here. Hang in. Hold on to your hats. We'll be
back
in about a minute.
As we rush about our world, preparing for the family festive gatherings, we hope you take a moment to think of those less fortunate than ourselves. Those old coats hanging in the closet which your family have outgrown or never wear. They would be greatly appreciated by those less fortunate. Take time to give this season. Give to the Red Cross or Catholic clothing charities or the Salvation Army. Warm the hearts of those who may be experiencing hard times. Do something of goodwill during this festive season.
Shadows of the Night Zone. Your host, Colin Knight.
And one of those special nights where I get to actually sit back and enjoy my guest. And I have with me tonight Anne Bollinger McQuaid, author of Cloud Speak, Oracles in the Sky. So make sure you go to oraclesinthesky.com. It's a great website. Got lots of good information there. So, Anne, you are currently living in the Tucson area.
We do. We live in the Tucson area. We also have a place in Taos, New Mexico, and that is where I made an incredible connection with the Native American community there and a specific man named Deer Track, who I would like to honor right now. He passed within this last year and was instrumental to me in some of the work that I'm doing.
And yes, indeed, definitely. Whatever honors we can give to our elders that have brought wisdom to this land, I've got to tell you, they deserve as many kudos and as many respectful offerings as possible, because we're losing the spiritual journey.
Yeah.
People are giving up on thinking for themselves and are preferring to be able to type it into a computer to get an answer. And I think we're losing a little bit of it.
I do too, and it's as close as the inch outside your body. You know, I mean, you know, it's those spiritual experiences are right here with us. All we have to do, as we were saying, is just tune in. You know, I would love to share one thing right here on the lightning that when the man called in about that.
Mm-hmm. Tom, yeah.
Tom, thank you. I had an experience where that shows another connection. I was having body work done around during this cancer, just as a healing type thing, and along with the radiation. And I was driving in and out. At that point, we were in California, and I was driving from the beach into L.A., and there was a person, Lisa Teal, a singer-songwriter, and her music that I loved. And there was songs that she had that I loved to sing, and it was, "The Earth is Our Mother, We All Live on Her. The earth is our mother, we all live on her." And then I'll skip a little verse and go to the part that goes, "Where there is fear, there can be no love. Where there is love, there can be no fear. Where there is fear, there can be no love. Where there is love, there can be no fear." Well, I sang that for about 45 minutes in from the beach down into, just for fun. I mean, I was engaged.
Right.
I was like right in there, and Rusty was in the back, and we're just my dog, and we're just, you know, really into it. And I get there, and Joan Wolfson is the woman who is this amazing body healer, and we were working together. And it was a sunny day when I went in to have the body work done. And she's working, and she doesn't touch your body. She works in the aura right outside your body. She's down at my feet, and all of a sudden, there was this crash of lightning.
Wow.
And she and I both knew that it was the universe, lightning working with us to dispel, like Chinese pop loud firecrackers to dispel negative energy. And we both, she looked at me and she said, "Oh, this happens with another woman that I work on in Hong Kong." Now, so that's another way for anybody out there that's thinking about lightning, having lightning experiences, looking at it, or another really important way to look at the music, the lyrics, the sounds that we surround ourselves with are linking us to things.
Yep. I was always told that lightning was God's way of resetting the universe.
Oh, is that your dad again?
Yeah, that was my father.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it was just God resetting the universe. Don't panic. He's just putting things right.
You know what? I seriously think that if you look through different cultures, you'll find that is what different cultures believe.
Yeah, yeah. And that there is, growing up as a child, when it thundered, my mother would say that God was rearranging his furniture.
Oh, my parents always said that it was God, it was the angels bowling. I think we're both very blessed to have comforting parents.
Well, it was, I don't know. I think I lived a very warped religious life because I was allowed to walk my own path, and that path strayed into some very strange areas as I was growing up. But thank God I straightened out. But
don't you think that's part of the process?
I think it's part of the journey, definitely.
Part of the journey.
Yeah, I think it's part of the journey. And speaking of part of the journey, 25 years you've been documenting your journey. Now that's a pretty long-range goal. Did you have anything in mind at the beginning when you began this journey? Anything specific in mind that you required?
Well, you know what? In the back of my mind, when I started to really document the things that I was seeing around me and gather information together, when I was little, I was raised in the Methodist Church, and I've done my share of wandering into different things to find out that I embrace all religions, and I embrace everyone's truth and honor everyone's truth. But to get there, I wanted to do something. I remember when I was little, I was like, "Can't I just do something to help?" You know, I was one of those kids. And I remember at one point I started out collecting just quotes that would be inspirational, let's say, to people. And, I think it's Cahill Gibran who says, "When you're born, your work is placed in your heart." And I think that in my heart I knew that something was going to come through me that would make people realize that they're really okay, that we're safe here. I just had no idea what that was. I just was open to it and, you know, made plenty of notes and documented a lot of things and learned as much as I could possibly learn. And no, I really have let, you know, I've asked to serve a purpose, and the purpose then came to me. Because when I got the assignment, I think God or Spirit or whoever gave this to me went, oh, she's a hard worker. Let's give it to Anne.
And now that you have walked that path for 25 years, you get to share your findings in teachings through your website. So.
And I also have an online, I have a column every month in the Big Blend magazine online.
Okay.
And, it's always personal oracles. I'm all about personal oracles.
Excellent. Well, Anne Bullinger McQuaid, it's been an absolute pleasure. I have truly enjoyed tonight, and we're definitely going to have you back because there's so much more of the Native awareness I want to get into with you.
Well, Colin, this has just been this has been an honor and a joy. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, blessings on your household, my dear, and you take care, and we will most certainly talk to you again.
Thank you. Godspeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, Anne Bullinger McQuaid. It's a great, interesting look at life, and when you read Cloud Speak, Oracles in the Sky, or you go to oraclesinthesky.com and have a look around at Anne's perception, if you will, of what she sees as oracles, spirit guides, and take a little deeper look into the subject, because I think you will see that it connects with many other topics that we have talked about on the Night Zone, with many other genres and many other non-religious followings, such as the Gaelic rituals and rituals of Wicca and the rituals of Mother Earth. And when you look at all of these rituals, these ancient rituals, and you see that there is a common purpose, and the common purpose is Mother Earth, that beautiful diamond in this universe, that diamond that has so many facets, that it would take for eternity to be able to explain every single one to a level where everybody would be comfortable. But those facets do exist. Mother Earth does live. And as a good friend of mine once said, we are merely the fleas on the hide of a dog. And if that dog decides to shake, then we'd better hold on tight. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madame and messieurs, mes enfants, it's been an absolute pleasure. That's it, that's all. Another edition of the Night Zone. Hey guys, got a minute? You know, I'm sure we all have friends that are having tough times, either financially or in their marriage or in their general relationships in life. But for the grace of God, go I. Well, I have friends like that. As they look to me for advice, I look to the heavens for some form of divine inspiration so I can please the masses, I guess. It doesn't always happen. So what I would like to say to you tonight is, if you have friends, embrace them. If you have loved ones, cherish them. If you have acquaintances, respect them. And if you have love, show them.
Blessings upon your households. Good night.